Welcome to the Greg Dwyer Radio Show on Building Fortunes Radio with your host, motivational speaker Greg Dwyer. Be sure to check out Greg at www.gregdwyer.com. That's www.gregdwyer.com. Now on to our show. Take it away, Greg.
You know, they say that everybody has a book within them, but that doesn't mean that everybody writes a book. You know, for the people that say they're going to write a book, very few people do. My guest today is Dr. Richard Nongard. I met him many, many years ago at a hypnosis convention. I've read his books. I have his books. We have talked, conversed, and I asked him about a week ago to be on the broadcast, number one, because I'm going to write a book, and he's going to teach me how. And if you want to write a book, he's the guy to help you. So, Richard, thanks for being on the broadcast today.
It's awesome to be here with you, Greg. Yeah, we go back a little while. We've had some good conversations, and I'm happy to share some great ideas with your audience because people have a book in their head, but they don't know how to turn that into a book on the shelf.
Yeah, and, you know, you have an interest in magic. I know you know Jeff McBride, mm-hmm. and I know him. I've been to his house, and you know him.
Sure.
You got a
I think that's actually where we first met. Our first connection was, I think, through Jeff McBride, actually.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. So how did you get into the business of helping people write books? Was it just the fact that you went through the learning curve and you just wanted to teach people?
You know, I wrote my first book in 1994. Publishing and writing was entirely different back then. Print on demand didn't exist. Amazon didn't exist. Well, I guess it just started. But the ability to do all the creative things that we have the ability to do now just didn't exist. So I had to learn by trial and error. I actually had to go buy paper at a paper wholesaler, drive it over to a print shop and have paper, you know, books printed and take it to a bindery and have books cut and trimmed. And now that we have print on demand and the ability for anybody to write, publish, sell a book worldwide right from their own PC, and to make it available at bookstores worldwide, not simply on Amazon, I knew that people wanted this info. So a couple of years ago, I started a course that taught people how to write a book. And a lot of people wrote a book, and that was great. And then COVID changed everything. And that is when I changed the format of the course. And over the last 18 months, I've helped literally hundreds of people produce hundreds of books. And it's great to see them doing book signings at Barnes & Noble or, you know, another local bookstore and their books being available on Amazon and around the globe in all the different countries.
Now, I know my friend Amber Rose Cox. I've been in touch with her.
Yep.
She talks about emotional intelligence. I bought her book, gave it to my sister. Mm-hmm. She gave it to her boss. Absolutely loved it. And when I talked to her, she said, if it wasn't for you and your course, she probably wouldn't get it done, and she highly recommends it. So how many people have you helped? I mean, hundreds, thousands?
No, well, there's about 410 people, I think, in our Facebook group. So most of the people who take the course join our Facebook group. And there's, like I said, about 410 people in there. And right now I'm looking at a stack of books. You know, some of these people just started their course a few weeks ago. Some of them are finishing up from the course they took the summer. But right now I'm looking at a stack of about 150 finished books. So we're looking at, you know, within a reasonable period of time, about, you know, 40% of the people are actually writing a book. And when you think about it, the assignment for the course is write a book, right? I mean, that's a pretty big assignment. It's not write a paper, it's write a book. And I think that's an amazingly high statistic. And the reason why it's high is I take people step by step. And I've even created a new tool that is incredible. I call it the Magic Chapter Template Generator. And I went through all the New York Times best-selling nonfiction books, because that's my specialty, and looked at what are the common attributes of a brilliant first chapter, a first chapter that makes it to the top of the New York Times bestseller list. And I created an online template that actually goes line by line in some cases and paragraph by paragraph in most cases, so that a person can fill out the form with their ideas, press go, and it spits out a complete finished first chapter following the same format of the New York Times bestselling books. And the way to write a book, Greg, is to start writing your book. That first chapter is essential. And once people write the first chapter, if you do it well, that first chapter tells you what to write the rest of the book.
Well, you know, as I'm listening to you talk, and of course we didn't script this, we don't have an outline, we're just going with the flow, but what I'm hearing behind the scenes is this, all this NLP talk about patterns, modeling success, and understanding, hey, what works? Why reinvent the wheel? Is that what you're doing here, Richard? Because that's what it sounds like you're doing.
Yeah, you know, in movies, for example, you know, it doesn't really matter what the movie is, Star Wars or whatever the popular movie is, you know, there's something called the hero's journey, and this is the proven method for telling a story. And fiction writers, screenplay writers, they'll all talk about, you know, novel writers, they'll talk about the hero's journey and taking your readers, your audience through the hero's journey. And this is, you know, going back, you know, literally hundreds of years, the way to tell a story, you know, man versus man versus machine, man versus nature, you know, these sorts of things, and how they go through the different trials and tribulations. And for us as the reader or the viewer of a movie, to be able to become engaged in it. Well, in the world of book writing, we know what works and we know what doesn't work. I always tell people the best way to write a book is to nail down the first three chapters. And if you want, Greg, I'll share with the listeners, they don't even have to take the course, the three things that are essential in order to kick off a book. So that way, if anybody has an idea for a book in their head, you can start writing now, and you can actually have the rest of the book mapped out by midnight tonight. It's actually a pretty cool system.
Let's go. Let's do it.
All right. First chapter, real simple. We start with a interesting opening line. We tell a story because stories engage people. That's why storytelling has been a part of our culture, and is a cultural universal for thousands and thousands of years. So we have a great opening line. We tell a story. We reveal our thesis. The thesis is essentially if you do this, this will happen, right? It's the big idea. And then we can relate our own experiences or the stories of others or of clients, you know, whoever it is we want to write about, to the thesis. And then we let the readers know that, let's take the case of a nonfiction book here, maybe an inspirational book or a self-help book, that if they keep reading, these promises are going to come true. And here are what the promises are. This excites the reader. Wow, this was interesting first line. These stories help me understand the big idea. The big idea or the thesis is this, and if I stick with it, these awesome things are going to happen. Chapter one. Chapter two is, I'm going to borrow it from TEDx. TEDx talks, a lot of people know what those are. I've done a TEDx talk, and many others have as well. And the idea of TEDx is you have 20 minutes to share a big idea. In TEDx, they talk about the shark in the water, though, because most of us have a big idea, a thesis, but it's probably not really new to the listener or to the reader. So, for example, Greg, if I were to write a book on abundance and achieving my goals, right? That's the book I was going to write. I probably know how to be abundant and how to reach my goals. But for some reason, I'm probably not doing that, right? Because a lot of people have this idea, I'm going to make these changes in life, weight loss, whatever the change is, but they never make it. The sharks in the water are the things inside of us that almost always keep us from accomplishing what we want to, even when we know what it is we should do. So chapter two is kind of a depressing chapter. Chapter two really strikes to the core of the thesis, and the reason you haven't been able to manifest this before is because chances are pretty good you're holding yourself back, either a lack of knowledge, a lack of skills, something in your inner workings, maybe it's physiological, it's something holding you back. Let's talk about that in chapter two. And chapter two ends kind of depressing, and so people want to read chapter three because, remember, they had the promises in chapter one, now they're depressed at chapter two. And we've amplified their misery in the language of sales. And so they want to jump into chapter three. Chapter three becomes a listicle. What I mean by a listicle is an article that has a list. And it says, in the case of, again, you know, abundance and goal setting, you know, I've worked with a lot of clients, and in my own life, I've made changes. And the research, the literature actually tells us that these methods work. Let me share with you, let's just call it seven Habits for Highly Effective People. Yeah, you see where I'm going with this? New York Times bestseller list, right? Stephen Covey, The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. Robert Greene's book, 48 Laws of Power, Listicles Sell, Listicles Entice People. So chapter 3 is a list of all of these things that I'm going to share with somebody to overcome the problems in chapter 2 to deliver the promises in chapter 1. Now the rest of the book is easy to write because literally chapter 5 is the first thing on the list. Chapter 6 is the second thing on the list. Chapter 7 is the third thing on that list. And so when we follow a format like this, what we're following is we're following a pathway that has proven itself to engage readers, to teach or train skills, to share a big idea and transform lives. This is what I teach in my course. But I teach not only how to do this, how to write the book and what to write in the book, but how to get beautiful covers made, how to self-publish it, because there's no reason in 2021 or 2022 why anybody should be sharing their royalties with a middleman. And self-publishing is the answer in 2021.
Wow. Now, I understand January, what is it, January 9th? Is that the date? When's the next class coming up?
Next class begins January 9th, but here's something, and I do the class about four times a year, but here's something really cool, Greg. On the weekend of December 4th, I'm actually doing a free five-day challenge where I'm going to take people through the process of writing a brilliant and beautiful first chapter. Anybody who wants to attend, it's absolutely free. I'm even going to give them the first chapter template generator. And anybody who wants to join me and write a great first chapter for their book could do that. And it's chapter1challenge.com. So chapter1challenge.com is where people can sign up and join me to learn what it takes to really write a great first chapter and get a book started. But I'm not only going to help them write that first chapter, I'm actually going to give everybody a checklist of the 66 things that a person needs to do from start to finish to write their book and to see it on bookstore shelves. So anybody who takes that free class at chapter1challenge.com can access this checklist, and they can, you know, go through the steps of my main course if they want to, or they can even go at their own pace and do it on their own. But I'm going to give everybody those resources because I love helping people write books.
Wow. You know, you scare me because you got your stuff together. Like, you are so congruent. You are so on purpose, and you know what you're talking about. Now, this thing that you're doing on the 4th, is it live? Are you actually just recording this? What's going on?
No, I'm pretty high tech, so it's live. It's at 11 a.m. Eastern every day for 5 days. But here's the great news. You know, we live in the current era in 2021, 2022, pretty soon. It's all live on Zoom. People can ask me questions. I'm going to simulcast it on Facebook for people who find that more convenient to access it. And I'm going to post recordings on my website. So if anybody actually misses the time slot, they can still access all of the course materials. And it's free.
Wow. I'm very impressed. I can't tell you the courses that I've bought, and people have told me stories. Hey, I bought this course. I bought this thing on this, you know, platform, and I haven't even gotten through it. I haven't actually followed through with it. It's very apparent to me that what you're doing is totally different here. You're actually walking people through the process, because what I understand is, tell me, Dr. Richard Nongard, you're writing another book while you're taking people through the course. Am I right?
I have actually been teaching this course in this format for the last year and a half, and I've produced 5 books during that time period, because what I want to do is I want to show people, you know, the main course is called 12weekbook.com. I want to teach them how to write a book. And so the easiest way for me to do that is to write a book. And I've written 28 books. And some of those books are, you know, classics or bestsellers in their niche. My first book I wrote in 1994. The last book I wrote this summer in my class. I actually took 2 classes to write the book Excellence in NLP and Life Coaching, because it's, you know, it's a big fat 400-page book. So it took me a little bit more time. And that's the thing. It's not a race. You know, some of my books, I wrote a book years ago titled Medical Meditation. I did that when I was laid up from foot surgery, orthopedic surgery. It took me about 6 weeks to get the book out, published, and for sale. you know, this book I just finished, Excellence in NLP and Life Coaching, is something I knew would become a classic in the field of NLP and life coaching. And so I took more time with it. I think I probably worked on a little bit here and there over a period of probably a year before I really launched into putting the material together and finally got it done in probably about 16 or 18 weeks.
Wow. Now, what are some of the obstacles in a person's mind between the left ear and the right ear that stops them? I know one of them must be procrastination or perfection, but what are some of the things that you find that stops a person from doing this? What are the obstacles?
I find that all these other things like procrastination or time management, you know, or lack of energy or sometimes health issues, all these things can stand in people's ways. But the two major issues, by the way, there's a solution for every one of those. But the two main obstacles are our fear of what others will say about us when we're done. And what's fascinating is people are usually afraid that they will be criticized for their ideas by their family or their friends or their partners or, you know, whoever it is that's in their real world. And let me assure you that your friends and family won't actually read your book. I've learned that. You know, people are like, oh, what if my friends and family read this book? What will they think? And they are afraid of that judgment. Nobody reads a book they didn't pay for. In fact, most people don't even read the books they did pay for. How many books are on your bookshelf that you never actually read? So your friends and family, if they assigned your book no value, they actually will never read your book. My mother, when COVID finally hit, we had the lockdowns and all that stuff, you know, she was cooped up at home like everybody else. And she called me. She said, well, son, I read one of your books. So it took my mom, you know, almost 30 years to actually read one of my books. Trust me, your friends and family aren't going to be judging you because they're actually not going to read the book. But the other reason why people don't write a book is imposter syndrome. They say, who am I to share these answers with other people? I'm not the world's foremost expert on X. The reality is we don't have to be the world's most foremost expert on the subject we're writing about. We just need to know something of value that is worth sharing with another person because we care about those people. So I wrote a book titled the book is titled The Stepspouse, How to Stay Sane When Their Ex is Driving You Crazy. Right? I'm a licensed as a marriage and family therapist. And a lot of people get married in a successive marriage, and they don't realize that this relationship with their current spouse's former spouse is going to be affecting their life in dramatic ways. And I'm not the world's, you know, foremost expert on marriage counseling or anything else. But I know both from personal experience as well as professional experience what the difficulties of those relationships are. And I had some concrete ideas that I wanted to share with people so that not only could they live a better life, but so their children could as well. And that's really a powerful gift to be able to give somebody. I can write a book on excellence in NLP and life coaching. I'm not the most famous of all NLP practitioners. There's Richard Bandler, and there's David Snyder, and there are other people out there who are really well known in the field of NLP. And, you know, a lot of people do know me in the NLP world, but who am I to write a textbook on excellence in NLP and life coaching? I have ideas that are worth sharing. And so imposter syndrome keeps us from seeing that we have something to contribute. And I've never done marketing research for any of my books. I've never thought to myself, what's going to sell the best? I write about what I'm really doing in life with my clients or in my own life, and I share with passion the results that I see. And the result has been people respond to that and say, that's awesome. I'm not the world's greatest expert on cryptocurrency and blockchain, but I have some ideas that are probably worth sharing, whether that's in a talk or whether that's in a future book. And the reader will benefit from my experience, even if somebody else has more experience than me. And imposter syndrome holds people back.
Yeah, in fact, I was just reading about this the other day. Very many people who are artists, I don't care if you're a singer, I don't care if you do poetry, we all deal with this idea of, hey, are we good enough? Let me ask you about the benefits. What are the benefits of writing a book? I'm a speaker. I'm sure it would be something that would open doors for me. I know my friend Rose, I'm losing the train of thought here, Amber Rose, I'm sure she's used it for workshops. But what are some of the benefits of people having a book? What does it do for people?
I think there's two benefits personally to writing a book. One, writing a book, no matter what you're writing about, a memoir, a nonfiction book, fiction book, it doesn't really matter. It's therapeutic to write. If you'd like to feel a higher quality of life, write a book. Just writing, even if you never publish it, is therapeutic. It's really wonderful. The other benefit of writing a book for me is I do a lot of teaching, a lot of training, and other things. And by writing books, I basically have resources I can share with other people. I condense my ideas into resources that I can access later. That helps me to know what it is that I have to share with other people. So it's really a way of organizing myself. But I think on a professional level, people really respect authors. They assign, whether that's, you know, correct or not, some sort of authority and importance to that. And if you're a coach, if you're a therapist, if you want to set yourself apart from the pack, if you're a public speaker and you want to be speaking more, have a book. And this is really important. I do a lot of keynote speaking and public speaking, and I guarantee you I wouldn't have gotten, you know, half the jobs that I've had, which, by the way, pay real well in the corporate world, if I hadn't had a book. I wrote a book on leadership called Viral Leadership about 4 years ago, and I got an endorsement, a blurb for my book from Chris Nassetta, who's the CEO of Hilton Worldwide. Now, he's the number one rated CEO on Glassdoor. Everybody loves Chris Nassetta. He runs a great company, Hilton Worldwide, and he endorsed the book. And the former CEO of GE Capital, ITS, wrote the foreword to the book. And here's the interesting thing. I actually don't sell a lot of copies of that book on Amazon. I sell a lot of copies of those books at events. But that book has become my greatest business card for business consulting. When I walk in and they want to know, you know, do you really know your stuff, Richard, about business? Well, sure I do. Look, I wrote this book, and, oh, by the way, the book was endorsed by the number one CEO in the country and by former CEO of GE Capital. So a book can become a great calling card. I also think books create an opportunity to share your idea with a bigger audience. As a licensed marriage and family therapist, the problem of the stepspouse is something that I can work with my clients to help them, but not everybody in the world can be my client, but a lot of people need these solutions. And so by writing a book, I can share that idea with tens of thousands of people, which has the benefit of helping more people. I think most people are therapists, coaches, or trainers are actually people who are genuinely interested in seeing other people do well, and a book creates that opportunity.
Mm-hmm. What would you say to somebody that says, you know, I don't know if I'm going to spend the next 3 months writing a book. I'm just going to outsource this thing. I'm going to get a ghost hunter for $10,000. Have you come across that thinking?
Yeah, so ghostwriters or what might be called PLR, material private label rights, which gives you the ability to take content somebody else has written and sort of edit or collate it as your own. I think that's a horrible idea, and the reason why I think it's a horrible idea is that the reader knows what's from the heart and what isn't, and being a professional means being genuine. And yes, it takes time and effort to write a book. I wish that 12weekbook.com meant you could play with the kids and, you know, go to the zoo and do whatever it is that people do for 12 weeks and then magically have a book. You actually have to sit down on the typewriter and type this sucker out, or sit with the, you know, phone and dictate the book if you'd rather speak the book. But I think it has to be your own words. It has to be genuine. And so for that reason, I never recommend a ghostwriter. It's, if the ghostwriter really believed they were a good enough writer to sell a lot of copies, they wouldn't be doing it for $10,000. They'd be writing that book and publishing it on their own.
Yeah.
So if you want to hire somebody with imposter syndrome, hire a ghostwriter. Well, lots of people hire ghostwriters. I mean, people have hired me to do some ghostwriting. I don't solicit it. I'm very careful about what I would ghostwrite about. I've actually never written a ghostwritten a book, but I've ghostwritten lots of blogs or marketing materials and other things for people. And when I do that, I really work closely with them to get their ideas. But most of these ghostwriters aren't going to create a high-quality document for you.
Right. Well, you know, speaking of ghostwriters, I almost have to pinch myself because I almost, listening to your voice, you almost sound like Eugene Berger. You know who I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah, Eugene. I was Eugene's first magic student in 1982 when he left Lutheran Social Services to become a professional magician, actually 1981. He was working at Great Godfrey Daniels in Chicago. He had left full-time work to become a professional magician, and I was his very first student. And so Eugene and I spent many, many years together working on lots of different things.
Did you say he worked for Lutheran Services?
He worked for Lutheran Social Services full-time. He left that job to become a full-time magician. But I grew up in Chicago, so, you know, Eugene and I probably have the same accent. And I would have to agree with you, though. My father died that same year that I met Eugene. And so Eugene was a person who really stepped in during that time. I was 16 at the time and 15 at the time, 16. He really stepped in to fulfill a role that was really important to me as a mentor and as a friend. So I consider like Eugene a compliment.
Yeah, no, you do. And when we said ghostwriters, you know, I know this isn't a fair question because we only have 3 minutes left, but what would be the essence of what he left for you as far as showmanship and marketing? I mean, there's no way we can do justice of this. We'd need 3 hours. But, like, what was the kernel?
We need 3 hours. So Eugene Berger taught me to write books. In 1983, he was working on one of his books, and he was using it was a Canon something, like a Canon 3. It was the beginning of the computer era, and it would actually hold a whole line of text in memory. And then he upgraded to one that could actually store a whole page of text in memory. So he gave me his previous version of that Canon typewriter. That's when I wrote my first book. I wrote a book. My first book was a magic book titled The Dark and Forgotten. And unfortunately, nobody seems to have a copy anywhere. Probably printed a couple hundred copies and sold them at Magic Inc. in Chicago in the early 1980s. I'd love to find a copy of that book. But Eugene was the person who I wanted to emulate. He wrote a lot of really great books, and I wanted to grow up to be like Eugene, and in many ways I have, so I appreciate the gifts that he gave me.
Wow. Yeah, that's really, you know, that's real.
I'm sitting right here next to his Glorpy that he gave me from back in the early 1980s to do the to do magic. So there you go. By writing a book, one never dies. Their ideas remain. And you know, although Eugene passed away, 2 years ago, his gift to us remains in his books. And I think it's really, I have a lady in my class right now who just wrote a memoir about her arranged marriage in India in the 1960s, and her husband just passed away. And this is just a gift to her family and to her community. And we can really, really create a wonderful legacy by writing a book. And it all begins with the first chapter, chapter1challenge.com.
We got 1 minute left. I'm going to give you the floor, exactly 1 minute. So what would you say?
Chapter1challenge.com. Write a book with me. Start. So many people put it off. They have a book in their head for years, and they don't know how to get it on paper. And I know how to help you take the ideas from your head and to create a brilliant first chapter. And once you create an awesome first chapter, you'll be so excited that you won't actually stop because it'll be really good. So many people write those first couple paragraphs, those first couple pages, then hit delete. And by using the ideas that I've shared with hundreds of other people over the last year, you can have a book too. So
excellent.
I am looking forward to it.
Richard, Dr. Richard Nongard, I will be there. I'm giving you my word. Thank you so much. You made my day. And we're out, so look them up, get on the course, write your book. And, Richard, thank you so much. I really appreciate this interview.
Sure. Take care, Greg. Thanks for having me.
All right. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Greg Dwyer Radio Show, brought to you by motivational speaker Greg Dwyer on buildingfortunesradio.com. Check out Greg at gregdwyer.com. Be sure to download his ebook at gregdwyerebook.com to stay focused on what matters most to you. That's www.gregdwyerebook.com. We want to thank you for listening. Now go make a difference in your world.